How do I, as a Christian, deal with rejection, constant criticism, and defeat? I pray, I believe in God with all my heart and soul. I quote scriptures, and I just don't know what else to do.
You've tuned in to Hope for the Heart with June Hunt. Thank you for joining us as June continues her series, Rejection, Healing a Wounded Heart. Today, June shares part of a conversation she had with a caller who was experiencing rejection in the workplace and felt like she was at the end of her rope as to how to reconcile the issue. You heard the caller's question at the beginning of the program, but you'll hear it again as we share this call from the beginning.
How do I, as a Christian, deal with rejection, constant criticism, and defeat? I pray, I believe in God with all my heart and soul. I quote scriptures, and I just don't know what else to do.
Who has rejected you?
It seems like I can't do anything right on the job. They're always taking my kindness as a weakness. They laugh at me behind my back. I never hear anything positive from my bosses.
You said, I can't do anything right. Let me ask you, do you get to work on time?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, then right there, you do something right. I bet if we looked at it, I could make a list of 20 things that you do right. So I want you to be aware of your wording.
Okay.
You said your bosses were always dissatisfied.
Always.
I don't think they're dissatisfied over every single thing, or you would have been long gone. So much of life deals with our perspective, how you interpret your experiences on the job. If you assume that you are going to be rejected or that your work is not going to be accepted, it kills momentum. It kills motivation. And it's very difficult to project positive attitudes toward others. I want positive people around me. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
The Bible says so much about our disposition. Do you have several people that you report to?
I have one lady that I report to, and I really like her.
Okay.
She's got somebody she reports to. And she really likes her. Now, things are really bad, apparently, on the job, or something's going on here. What could she do in regard to this boss?
Confront him.
Confront him? So, in what way? Why are you treating me so bad?
Sure. What am I doing wrong?
Okay. What am I doing wrong? To be candid, there was a young man at our ministry who almost didn't make it. And I suggested one time, I think it could be wonderful if you go to your boss and just say, how can I be the best employee possible? Now, the boss came to me and said, do you know what so-and-so said? Oh, really? That's wonderful. And fortunately, he kept it up. Periodically, he'd come back and say, could you tell me, how am I doing? So he was trying to get feedback on anything that he was doing that would cause a rejection.
I'd like for you to go to her and say, I would like to be the best employee I can be. Would you mention one or two things that I could begin to focus on to improve?
I've tried it several times, but I become defensive.
Tell me what she told you.
Well, she said that I try to read into everything and I'm too paranoid. I don't think that I am defensive, but
okay.
She says I am.
Did you happen to ask her any suggestion of how not to be paranoid?
Well, no, because I don't like to be labeled that, because
okay.
I'm not paranoid. And I get defensive because she continues to label me as being a paranoid, and I don't like it.
So apparently, whatever the woman said, she didn't receive. She didn't say, could you give me some suggestions how I might move away from appearing paranoid? Instead, all she did was become defensive.
Have you been aware that you needed to change but were unable or unwilling to accept suggestions? We continue with June Hunt on Hope for the Heart, discussing the phone call we just heard.
Did this problem just happen? Where should you go then if you're having a conversation with someone like this? Childhood. Okay, let's go there.
Tell me what the relationship was like with your mother, with your father.
My father died in Vietnam.
How old were you?
8.
Oh, wow. Do you remember your dad?
No.
What about your mother?
Well, my mother wasn't affectionate. I grew up with, you'll never be anything. You're stupid. I grew up separated from all my siblings, except for two. I was never good enough.
Yeah. You know, this is totally irresponsible of your mom. She should never have said you'll never amount to anything. Obviously, she was not well on the inside of her.
I think that she went through a lot. I didn't like my mother for a long time, but I have grown to love and respect her because of the Word of God, and I honor her since I've been older. But I still have a lot of pain and fell in love with this one guy and was married to him for 3 years of marriage. And finally it came out he was married to someone else. So I haven't been able to date or do anything for the last 4 years. And I know that a lot of the pain and hurt came because I was rejected as a child. I was called ugly all the time. I had a beautiful sister. She got all the attention. I worked in the fields. I was the workhorse of the family. I never knew about being ladylike. I just knew how to take care of myself and defend myself, fighting with the boys and fighting for my sister. And
so you were surviving.
That's all I knew.
Right.
I didn't know anything about hair and clothes and how to be a lady. And
right. A child is basically dependent on parents to equip them for life, to equip them to do what is appropriate socially with young people their ages. You didn't have that. You had the put-downs. But I hear injustice. You said you couldn't do anything right in the eyes of your mom?
That's correct.
Okay. She couldn't do anything right in the eyes of her mom. Didn't she say the same thing at work? Do you see the correlation? Do you see why she may be perceived as being paranoid? Because she is? I mean, because she's really projecting the rejection from her mom and the past onto her bosses. And we can do that and not even know it, not have a clue.
I want you to consider this, because this is not unusual. You said the exact same words in regard to those whom you're working for now. The pain that you experienced as a child, it is so easy to project onto others now, them doing the same thing to you. I've learned that rejection breeds rejection. So when you are rejected, you have to be very, very careful then not to turn around and reject others. When you were a child, you were unjustly rejected. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I reasoned as a child. As an adult, I need to put childish ways behind me. It's true. Your mother made you feel you couldn't do anything right.
Right.
Before that, you said, I can't do anything right on the job. What you've done is superimposed the past onto the present. The way to turn that around is to say, Lord, you have given me certain abilities. There are some things I can do right. I can't do everything right, but you've put me here. The scripture says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. God has already pre-planned how he is going to use you at that job. So instead of looking at the negative, I want you to pray, thank you, God, for what I can do right on this job, and I am going to do whatever it is. The scripture says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It even says, whatever your work is, do it as unto the Lord, as you're working for him. So say, Lord, I want to have a servant's heart. I want to look for ways to serve others. And every time you do something for someone else, say, Lord, thank you for giving me the ability to do this.
Okay.
Obviously, the rejection from childhood, from various members of the family, from people outside the family, can have a profound impact on us. Certain circumstances, not being nurtured, not being held. So what do we do? Well, let's look at the truth. According to God, He accepts us. As we live our life, our tendency will be to base our life on our feelings. Based on feelings, we interpret life. And if we base our life on feelings, our feelings will lead us astray. That kind of living is disastrous. The reason it's important is because feelings change. God never changes. Feelings change. God never changes.
You're listening to Hope for the Heart, where this week we're looking at rejection, healing a wounded heart. June Hunt has shared the reality of rejection as it was experienced by a listener, and she has presented insight into how rejection breeds rejection. Now we continue as June helps us understand how we can gain victory over rejection by focusing on truth rather than feelings. Here again is June Hunt.
Step by step, admit the rejection of the past and its pain, because then you can know what you're dealing with. Ask God to bring to mind every rejection from your childhood to the present, and then consider the circumstances of each situation. Acknowledge the gamut of feelings that you had in regard to the rejection on every situation. I think it's strong to write it down. I know a lot of people find it amazingly beneficial to journal, but if it's just this one project and you can't seem to get over it, let's deal with it. Write each situation down. And when I'm talking on the phone, I am writing down what they say, and I keep asking questions. Write down, how did you feel about it? And ask God to heal you from any physical, emotional, spiritual impact of these painful experiences of rejection. This is an important passage to me. I've always been very drawn to it. The prophet Jeremiah was saying it. And this is in Lamentations 3, verse 19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Now look what happens. Does he stay down? This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Yes, he can feel down because the circumstances of his life were down. They were difficult. The people rejected him, yet he didn't stay down. Instead, he chose to tell himself the truth about God. The next point, claim God's acceptance and unconditional love. There are marvelous passages that we are to remind ourselves of. The Bible tells us that we are to meditate on his word. Isaiah 54:10 says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. I just wonder, if you were feeling really down, really down, because of rejection, if you were to read that in the morning, read it at noon, and read it at night, for 90 days, what would happen? You'd be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the next point is critical. Choose to forgive those who reject you. I remember in regard to my father, I thought, well, look how wrong he is. In fact, I had this balancing scale. I thought, he's 98% wrong. I'm only 2% wrong. Because somebody asked me to consider, you know, like a scale. Well, I knew 98 was him. I was only 2%. Now that I've thought about it and there's a little more time that's gone on, I think those aren't correct percentages at all. But that's what I believed. I was focusing on his fault. I was a good fault finder, by the way, at that point. Meanwhile, then I become a Christian. I go, oh, I see these scriptures. Well, I'll tell you the one that did it really for me in a major way was 1 John 2:9. I was stunned at it, actually. I was very stunned. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, but there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. And I remember thinking, you know, that's a really good scripture. That's a good principle. But God knows my situation is the exception. I said that to God, or I said it to me. I knew I was the exception. I really believed that. But the good part is the Spirit of God did not let me stay there permanently. I wasn't the exception. I wasn't supposed to have hatred, but I didn't understand forgiveness. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Well, the truth is, even if it were 98%, 2%, I was still responsible before God for my 2%. And I went to him and I asked forgiveness. I said, I realize I have been wrong in my attitude. I have not thanked you for, and then I mentioned three things, three specifics that I had never thanked him for that were major things. And I said, would you forgive me? And I remember him, he was reading a paper and he looked up, his eyes, glasses were kind of down on his nose, and he said, the pleasure was all mine. And he went back to his paper. And I thought, I don't think we connected there. But you know, I did what was right. And I was sincere when I went to him. And somehow, I believe God honored that. Because over a period of time, the relationship changed. The animosity within me changed. And I began to take a perspective that I did not have. And that is, he did not know the Lord. He needed more than anything a changed life through Jesus Christ. And so the more I prayed for him, the more I learned prayer changes you. Prayer changes me. You can't pray for someone without feeling a loving concern for someone.
Ever felt like a prisoner to your emotions? Then How to Handle Your Emotions by June Hunt is a must read. You'll learn how by feeling your emotions and dealing with your pain, you can find hope and healing for anger, depression, fear, grief, rejection, and more. Harness the power of your emotions and let God make you into the person He created you to be. You can order your copy online at hopefortheheart.org or by calling 1-800-488-4673. That's 1-800-488-HOPE.
Let's return to June sharing how we can have victory over rejection.
Expect future rejection as natural in a fallen world. Let's just be realistic. We are going to be rejected. That's just going to be a part of our lives. We are told that God will use that rejection in our lives, however. Plant scripture in your mind to produce new thought patterns. And at times it might be, for example, in our biblical counseling keys, we always have 10 scripture memory cards. Find scriptures that are pertinent to the situation where you know you need victory. Thank God for what you have learned through rejection. You know, this is one of the most helpful things that has helped me personally. How has God used this in my life? Well, I will tell you, in regard to having a rejecting father, I don't think I would be able to comprehend when people talk about rejection. I don't think I would have a heart for them if I hadn't been rejected myself. Notice a very interesting passage, Psalm 119, verse 71. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Isn't that interesting? I mean, you think, good to be afflicted? That's not our mindset, is it? I mean, it normally is not. But it's a biblical perspective, because there are times when the only way we are going to look up is when we are down. And when we've been knocked down, I learned years ago that it's only when we've been knocked to our knees that at times we're willing to pray. And that's the best position in which to pray and to look up and see God. In fact, it is through affliction. And, you know, I can look now and think, oh, I didn't feel accepted in school. You know, I thought about that. Why did I not feel accepted in school? Well, first of all, was I vulnerable? Did I tell anybody anything about me? I was as closed as a clam. I wasn't open. And typically, that's how you get friends, is you open your heart and you share from your life. Well, I couldn't tell anybody anything because I had a bizarre family life that it was loyalty to the family. I couldn't tell anything. Do you see what I'm saying? I remember in high school, I knew who the pretty people were, and I did not envy them. It's not like, well, I wish I could be. I just know I'm not there. I can't be whatever. But you know, I became a youth director. Oh, how God used that in my life. Oh, I tell you, I reached out to those loners. I reached out to those down and outers. I reached out to those who didn't have friends. I loved it because they wanted to be accepted. It was not wasted. Don't allow rejection from your past to be wasted, because there are people that need you to reach out to them. And if you've been rejected severely, you understand how people need somebody to believe in them. You understand the longing within their hearts. And it's okay. God makes it okay. Was Jesus rejected? Yes. He was rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Instead, turn this around. Encourage others. You know, what happens is it gives you a sense of your own worth, because truly, God has a plan for you. And part of the plan is to use whatever has been painful in your life to be a part of your life message. Why are you here on earth? Look at any area of failure and pain. Hasn't God taught you through those times of failure and pain? Well, that puts you in prime position to be able to reach out to the heart needs of others. And don't just think they have to be pulled to you. Pull them to the Lord, into a deeper dependence on the Lord.
Are you afraid of being rejected? Do you know at least 10 questions to test yourself for a fear of rejection? In her Heart of the Matter series, Rejection, Healing a Wounded Heart, June Hunt provides a list of 18 questions for you to review to determine if you're carrying around a fear of rejection. She then shares biblical hope and practical help for coming out of this fear and living a life of acceptance and victory. You can learn more about this series at hopefortheheart.org. hopefortheheart.org, or by calling 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. Also available is June's book, How to Handle Your Emotions. Both are great resources for your personal or small group Bible study. Again, you can visit us online at hopefortheheart.org or 1-800-488-4673. If, while you're on our website, you feel impressed to write to June, please know that all of the prayers, thanks, and other letters and emails that we get are read and appreciated, even this brief one from a listener we'll call Diane.
May God continue to bless June so that she can bless others, especially those who live without hope.
June Hunt and Hope for the Heart have provided scriptural answers to the tangled problems of hurting people through this radio program and through many other counseling resources. In fact, Hope for the Heart recently received the Radio Impact Award at the National Religious Broadcasters 2012 Convention. We're grateful for this honor, and we share it with you. Thank you for your prayers and your financial investments in this ministry. There are still many opportunities to share biblical hope and practical help, and many avenues with which to do so as technology changes so quickly. Won't you invest in the lives of men, women, and families with a one-time financial gift or a scheduled monthly financial gift? We also need those who are committed to pray for this ministry, for June, and for the ministry team. You can join us when you visit hopefortheheart.org, hopefortheheart.org, or call 1-800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. And be sure to let us know the call letters of the station where you listen to this program. And now, once again, here's June Hunt with a closing word of hope from God's Word.
Becoming a child of God is by choice, your choice, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you're adopted into the family of God. I love this verse, 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children
of God.